Well, this is also the week of Thanksgiving. And it made me wonder. I was wondering, how many people in the United States, how many people really understand or know why we celebrate a national day of Thanksgiving? And I also wonder, how many people in the United States know when we actually began to celebrate national days of Thanksgiving? To answer that question, we have to go all the way back to the Revolutionary War era. During the Revolutionary War, the Continental Congress would periodically set aside specific days. And these would be days that would be set aside for days of fasting and humbleness, humility before the Lord. And they would also set aside specific days to be days of thanksgiving. Specific days of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And the very first national day of Thanksgiving, as proclaimed by Congress, the very first one was on the third Thursday of December, so very close to Christmas, in the year 1777. So that was just in the third year of our ongoing hostilities with England as we were struggling for during the Revolutionary War for our freedom. Henry Lawrence, remember that name. Henry Lawrence, he was the president of the Continental Congress. And Henry Lawrence was the man that signed that specific proclamation for that National Day of Thanksgiving on December, whatever that would have been, 1777. I want you to look and read this along with me. This is part of what that proclamation said on that very first National Day of Thanksgiving. That with one heart and one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of the divine benefactor. Now it goes on to say this. I want you to see this too. And to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine Congress proclaiming that today? That would be awesome. That is what Congress proclaimed in 1777. So with this in mind, this week, I decided to go back and to look at some old sermons about Thanksgiving. Sermons that were offered by ministers from the founding era of our nation. Because I wanted to see, what were they teaching their congregations about giving thanks on those national days of observance? And so I'm going to share with you some insights from two specific messages that I did look at and that I did see. So on November 27th, 1800, a man named Henry Rowland, he was a minister in Connecticut. Henry Rowland spoke about giving thanks on a national day of Thanksgiving. Now, Henry Rowland's, I'm only going to give you some excerpts from it, because it was a long address that he gave. If you ever think to yourself that Todd preaches too long, be glad you don't sit under Henry Rowland in the year 1800. But I'm going to share with you some of the poignant insights that he had and that he shared with his congregation, his people, about giving thanks and giving thanks to the Lord, to Jesus Christ, on that national day of Thanksgiving. Now, he starts with this one great foundation. It's a simple statement, but it's so powerful. This is how he begins. Henry Rowland said this, "All God's works praise him. And shall man, the noblest of his works on earth, be silent?" Another point of emphasis for Henry Rowland, a point of emphasis for him, was that the heads of families should relate to their children the evidences of the powerful hand of God in delivering this nation unto freedom. They were to impress their young minds with all of the remembrances of all of the blessings of God. That was a key point, something we overlook and something we don't think about in our country. But it was a key point for Henry Rowland in what he shared. And I'm going to skip to the end of his message because I want you to see this conclusion that he gave, part of his conclusion. Henry Rowland, 1800, he said, "Thanksgiving is a religious festival, and you who are parents might make a lasting impression on the minds of your children by a religious observance of it. Those who are now children are to be the future legislators, statesmen and ministers of our country. And that is still so true today. We need to make sure that we are focusing this Thursday on Thanksgiving. You know, the world around us should see and know that we are thanking Jesus Christ for the blessings that we have in our lives, but that we are verbally thanking Jesus Christ for the nation that we live in and for the country that we live in. And it should be something that is taught. Our children should hear us speaking and sharing, and we should know ourselves. We should learn and see what was the hand of Jesus Christ at the very foundations of this country, because there were miracles that took place. Miracles that God, by his own hand, provided so that we could be a free nation, a nation that was founded on his word and on his principles. If you take Roland's message as a whole, if you take the whole thing, you really see when you read through the length of his message, you really do see, you see the impact that he felt, the imperative that he felt for remembering the blessings of Jesus Christ upon our nation. Now, that is the same point of emphasis. It's funny, because I read three different ones. In two of these, that is the same point of emphasis that is made by the second minister that I want to share with you from. Both of these two ministers in that founding era, both of these two men, they both saw the direct tie between the blessings of God and remembering the blessings of God and our speaking words of thanksgiving and expressing our thanksgiving to Jesus Christ for the things that he has done. And we read that in the Bible. Look at this. This is from the Amplified Version, but this is Psalm 103, verse number 2. Bless affectionately. Tell you what, you couldn't be singing those songs this morning and not feel affectionate love for Jesus Christ. Bless affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Thanksgiving is a time of remembrance. And forget not one of all of his benefits. The second message offered by the second minister, it was a message that was given in the year 1783. So now we're going even 17 years further back in our history. And when this message was given in the year 1783, it was just after the victorious conclusion of the Revolutionary War. This man's name is George Duffield, and this is a picture of what he looks like. If you thought Roland was long, George Duffield is just scary looking. But this is George Duffield, and he had a great message. I've actually read several of his messages, and this is a great message. I'd love to just read his message to you sometime, but it is kind of hard to get through. They use a lot of verbiage and a lot of words. But George Duffield, the message, the sermon that he gave was also, just like the first one, it was a response to a congressional call. He gave this sermon as a response to a congressional call for another national day of prayer. Now, just like Roland, Duffield also spoke about the importance of fathers remembering to their children. This was so common in that era. Fathers remembering to their children the great, by his own words, the greatness of the hand of God in the independence of our nation. And also, just like Roland, Duffield, also, those two men, they both understood the significance of blessing, the significance of the blessings that we have and offering thanksgiving. Remembering the blessings and offering thanksgiving for the things that Jesus did. Both of these men had strong ties to those two themes. And I really want to focus this morning on that one theme of remembering the blessings of the Lord. And we remember them by giving our thanks, by expressing passionately our thanks to Jesus Christ for the things that he has done. Now, George Duffield went to great lengths in his message to make sure that he gave acclaim, that he lifted up and gave strong mention to and praise to all of the soldiers who he said would never be forgotten by a grateful nation. He remembered the names of those men. And he remembered those names of those men. He remembered them as the immortals, men that would be immortalized forever in the hearts of the American people because of the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that they gave for their country. Now again, I want you to see exactly what he says. This is Duffield. "With these, let us also be joined." And I have to tell you, he actually spent a lot of time talking about men who didn't even die, but he talks about the sacrifice of those who gave their time and their hearts, and they gave their service in military service to our country. But he's speaking here, and he says, "With these, let also be joined in never dying remembrance a Warren, a Montgomery, a Biddle, embraced by the briny waters, a McPherson and a Lawrence in the bloom of youth, fallen in the bloody field in their country's cause, with the countless train of martyrs for American freedom. These number them not of the dead. They are enrolled in the list of glory and fame and shall live immortal beyond the power of death and the grave." Man, they spoke quite elegant prose back then. But you know, when you read that, one thing I noticed, and here's why I wanted you to see that specific excerpt. The names of those men that he mentioned were so familiar to all of those who were listening to Duffield that first names weren't even required. Every single one of those men, Duffield knew, just mentioned their last name, and every single person who read this and heard it would know exactly who he was talking about. It was inconceivable to Duffield and his listeners that we would ever forget the names of these men and the sacrifices that they made for our nation. And yet, here we are today, and don't feel condemned about this, but this is just the truth of 230 years. They never thought we'd forget these names. We sit here today, and how many of us know any of those names? Let me just show, by a raise of hands, how many of you know who he's referring to when he says Warren? I know Donna does. And Jeff, I know you do, even though you've forgotten, because I know you read the book about Bunker Hill. But, so Warren, yes, Jeff can raise his hand. Warren, okay, Warren's going to be the best known. Anybody ever heard of Montgomery, who he's referring to? Again, we didn't even need the first names. The listeners didn't because they knew them. How about Biddle? You're going to know about Biddle. If you haven't so far, you will know, because he was in the Navy. Pardon me? I haven't gotten to that point in the book yet, but I don't think I saw his name mentioned in the book you gave me. Also, McPherson. Don't worry about raising your hands for McPherson, because I study this stuff. I love this stuff. I had no idea who he was talking about with McPherson. I actually spent an hour researching, trying to find out. The best I could do was come up with somebody that maybe he might have been talking about, but I'm not even sure about that. And then, of course, the name Lawrence. Anybody heard of Lawrence? Oh, you guys are paying attention. It's a different Lawrence, though. It's the same family, but it is a different individual that he is talking about. So, a key point, one key point for both Henry Rowland and for George Duffield, one key point about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Day is remembering. And you can see by this list of men, it just points out and shows us how quickly we obviously forget things. In the same way, we so easily have forgotten, long since forgotten, Duffield's list of immortal men. But by the same token, we can easily, unless we make the effort, and unless we give that thanksgiving and expressions of thanksgiving from our hearts and from our mouths, we could just as easily forget the blessings of God. And we forget the many things that we have to be grateful for in this country, but certainly in our individual lives. It is easy for us to forget those things. The psalmist talks about this in Psalm 107, verse number 8. The psalmist actually laments about this very point. Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works and to the children of men." We must always remember the blessings of the Lord. And we must consistently, we must always, continually offer expressions, passionate expressions of our gratitude, of our thankfulness, thanksgiving, words of giving thanks that are tied to the remembrances of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, and of his supernatural interpositions in our lives every single day. Even in the small ways like you've experienced this past week, in looking for those signs of Jesus' love for you and that his eye is always upon you. So who were these men that we just talked about? Because I do want to spend a little time talking about them. Who were these men? The aforementioned Warren. This is a picture you're going to see of Dr. Joseph Warren. Dr. Joseph Warren, he was a patriot leader and organizer in the area of Boston. And he was considered to be so vital to the American cause that when he died at the Battle of Bunker Hill, it was a severe blow to the Revolutionary War effort, which was still just in its infancy. In fact, a Tory in Boston, and a Tory would be somebody who was a British sympathizer, a Tory in the Boston area after the Revolutionary War, a Tory said about Joseph Warren, said that had Joseph Warren lived, that George Washington would have been, quote unquote, an obscurity. Now, that's a bit of hyperbole, obviously, and you also have to bear in mind that this is a British sympathizer. So he said this after the Revolutionary War. So George Washington just led the defeat of the British. So you can see he had a little bit of sour grapes with George Washington. But it does really illustrate how the reverence, the awe, the admiration that was given and afforded to Dr. Joseph Warren. So that's Joseph Warren. Montgomery. Montgomery refers to General Richard Montgomery. Richard Montgomery had been a soldier in the British Army, but he turned and gave himself to the American cause. He rose to the level of general, and he was the one that actually led the American invasion into Canada. He captured Fort St. John. He actually captured the entire city of Montreal. He died heroically in the failed attempt to capture Quebec, which would have taken. They were within days of actually conquering all of Canada as well. The next one is Biddle. Biddle is a reference to Captain Nicholas Biddle, who was a hero of the United States Navy. Now, Biddle, just like Montgomery, Biddle had served with the English. In fact, he had served alongside, this is a naval officer, he had served alongside the greatest naval hero in all of England's illustrious naval history. He served alongside Lord Horatio Nelson, and yet he gave himself to the American cause. And he was considered to be one of the bravest officers in the United States Navy. Now, he died when he had great successes, but he died when he was trying to take a ship that was larger and a stronger ship of the line from the British. McPherson, as I've mentioned, he's more difficult. I don't know. But you know what? The fact that we really can't even pinpoint who McPherson was just emphasizes the point of how easily and how quickly we forget things that we think we never shall forget. So here's the last person. The last person that Duffield mentioned was Lawrence. This is a picture of John Lawrence. John Lawrence was a young aide-de-camp to General George Washington. He served in numerous battles in the Revolutionary War, and Lawrence was actually injured at the Battle of Georgetown. Lawrence was from the slave state of South Carolina. In fact, Lawrence's family actually owned slaves. But John Lawrence, his mindset was he believed that blacks and whites shared the same nature. Now, that's self-evident to you and I today. But you know what? In 1770 South Carolina, that was not the common belief or thought. John Lawrence also believed that blacks and whites could fight together for freedom. And he developed the audacious plan to arm a regiment of slaves. This was something that was not highly thought of in South Carolina, where he was from. But you know what? The Continental Congress believed in it, and the Continental Congress approved his plan and actually commissioned John Lawrence commissioned him to raise a battalion of 3,000 armed slaves. Now, unfortunately, he was in South Carolina, and the South Carolina Congress defeated that. But that gives you an idea of the kind of man that John Lawrence was. John Lawrence died right towards the end, in a battle right towards the end of the Revolutionary War in 1782. Now, by the way, John Lawrence, as you've already identified, similar name, John Lawrence is the son. This man is the son of the Henry Lawrence that we quoted from originally. This is the son of the man who signed, the president of the U.S., the president of the Continental Congress, who signed the very first National Day of Thanksgiving proclamation. So that's John Lawrence. Now, when you look at all these men, and you see that Duffield spent time focusing on them, this all takes us back to the realization that both Henry Rowland and George Duffield, both of these men, they tied directly the importance of remembrance. They tied to Thanksgiving the importance of remembrance and remembering the mighty hand of Jesus Christ in our historical beginnings. And as we think about these men and we think about how George Duffield immortalized them and lifted them up, it should stir within us a reminder. We should remember of our sacrifice, of our call to offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Jesus Christ before all men. And we should do it on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, and every Thanksgiving. That should be a part of Thanksgiving. Our offering, sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to Jesus Christ for what we have and what He has given and poured into us. We see that same sentiment spoken of in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16. Hebrews 13, 16 says, "But do not forget remembrance, but do not forget to do good." And to, I can't read it there. "And to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now let's return for just a moment to Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, that's where we saw the psalmist was imploring that men would give thanks to God. If you read that entire psalm, Psalm 107, you will see that very appeal, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord," that appeal is made four times throughout Psalm 107. It is one time, it is there as a reminder of the goodness of God. One time it's followed by a reminder of the goodness of God in our daily lives. And one time it's followed by a reminder of the power of God in our lives. But I want you to see this. I want you to see how this is followed, how this appeal is followed. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord." Look at how that appeal is followed in verses 21 and 22. And I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. "Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for His goodness and loving kindness and His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds with shouts of joy and singing." We have the responsibility, you and I, we have the responsibility as His highest creation. We have the responsibility to offer those sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise to Jesus Christ. We have and hold that responsibility. Now let's return to Psalm 103, which we looked at very early on. Because in Psalm 103, it instructs us to praise God in our souls. So I want you to see both verses 1 and 2 from Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His thoughts." Now remember, our soul is our mind, it's our thoughts, it's our personality, it's our will. It is that unique and eternal creation of you. So our praise in our soul, in our thoughts, in our mind, and even in our past remembrances are thankful expressions to Jesus Christ from the unique person of you. He's created you unlike anyone else. You are unique to the billions of other souls living in this world today. You are unique to the billions of souls from ages past. There is no other creation like you. You are unique to Jesus Christ. And since there is no other creation like you, only you, only you can give praise to Jesus Christ in the unique way that he created you and you alone to do so. Think about that. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Each one of us has that unique call of Jesus Christ. And you know what? We cannot remain silent. Because if we remain silent, that unique sacrifice, that unique sacrifice offering of thanksgiving and praise that is unique to you and to you alone will go unfulfilled and unheard. This is the imperative of each one of us remembering the things of Jesus Christ, remembering his might, his power, remembering his love, remembering the good things he's done for us, remembering and then responding by giving words of thanks, by giving words of thanksgiving to him. When it comes to praise and thanksgiving, we cannot be lukewarm. George Duffield understood this, and he made a strong point of this in his message. And it's a point that still resounds with truth today. Now, George Duffield, in his message, Duffield mentioned the people of Miraz. Just as you and I have forgotten the names of Warren, of Montgomery, of Lawrence, and the rest, we've also forgotten the name of Miraz from the Bible. And we've also, because we forget that, we forget the lesson that is to be learned from the people of Miraz. I'll be amazed. I would be astounded, because I had to go look it up. I would be so impressed if anybody here knew who the people of Miraz were. But we find their story. It's only one verse that's about them. And it's in Judges chapter 5, verse number 23. In Judges 5:23, it says, "Curse Miraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." The sin of Miraz is the sin of lukewarmness, of carelessness. To understand the story, you have to go back to the chapter just before this. In Judges chapter 4, we see the story where God lifted up the prophetess Deborah. And Deborah led the people of Israel in victory by the strength of God and by his hand. Deborah led the people of Israel in victory over the Canaanites who had been oppressing them. It was Deborah who led the Israelites, and the Israelites, in that same power of the Lord, utterly destroyed the Canaanite army. And so it says that not a man was left. However, the inhabitants of Miraz, they did not help. They did not stand with the Lord. And they did not stand with their brethren to fight. The people of Miraz, they neglected the opportunity to strike a blow for God in the power of God's hand. In much the same way, likewise, we neglect the opportunity to strike a blow for God in the power of God's word, in the power of God's might, when we neglect to give our sacrifice offerings of praise and thanksgiving to him. We miss an opportunity. It's an opportunity to give praise and thanks from the unique creations of you and me. It's expressions from a thankful heart that manifest with spiritual results in this world. We miss, we neglect that opportunity to strike a blow for God when we don't do that. This is what is called for us to do. And this is one of the main points of George Duffield. And it's one of the main points from Henry Rowland as well. Duffield concludes his message with these words of praise and thanks. And again, I want you to see these words specifically. "Praise, therefore, thy God, O America. Praise the Lord, ye his highly favored United States. Nor let it rest in the fleeting language of the lip or the formal thanksgiving of a day. But let every heart glow with gratitude and every life be devout by devout regard to his holy law proclaim his praise. There were some good things. There were some good prose that were offered up by some of our founding ministers. This is thanksgiving. This is the time and the season of thanksgiving. You know what? We are the continual, you and I, we are the continual recipients of the outpouring of God's love and his faithfulness. Let us remember his works and his blessings. Let us remember every day, but let us remember on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Let us remember those things. Thanksgiving Day, it should be a day of rehearsal. It should be a day of rehearsal for the 365 days. Yes, even Thanksgiving Day. It should be a rehearsal for the full year, for the 365 days. It should be a rehearsal of you and I giving Jesus Christ the unique praise and thanksgiving, unique, that comes from each one of us. This is who we are called to be. This is what we are supposed to be. We, as his highest creations, as his new creations, it is our duty to remember the blessings of God and to give thanks to his name. And to conclude, I want to go back to that very first quote that we saw from Henry Rowland, because it sets it up. It sets it up as a foundation, and it ends it so well. Henry Rowland said, "All of God's works praise him, and shall man, the noblest of his works on earth, be silent? No. No, we shall not be silent. Every day, remember, Thursday is your rehearsal. Thursday is your rehearsal to praise him with the praise that is uniquely from you. It's a rehearsal for all the other days of the year as we express our thanksgiving and praise to Jesus Christ as his unique creations. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and give him praise as we sing this song in closing.